be with you.
And also with you.
We begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin. Please join me. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And I invite all of our members to stand who can stand, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all those who are joining us in person, and welcome to all those joining us online. It is good to be here together, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. This morning we begin with our confession and forgiveness, and please join us. Please join me in here. So blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin and come to God for healing. Gracious God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings at war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow in the way of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive our iniquities and to remember our sin no more. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith
to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite our children forward for a brief message. How are you guys today?
Good.
Good. You have had a good week?
Yep.
Well, I wanted to talk to you. I want to ask you a question. Jesus has some teachings for us, and I want to illustrate it by this question. Do you guys like books?
Yes.
What? You do, yeah. Like them. Well, we have this book in our library. It could be any book, but this is one of the books we have, and it's called The Wonderful Things You Will Be. And perhaps, have you read this book before?
Maybe.
You have? Is it a good book? Yes, okay. Well, and it could be any book. I like reading books too. But what happens when we come to the end of the book? Are you sad?
Sometimes.
But when we come to the end of the book, is the story over? But, okay, you say no. Well, what are our options? How can the story continue?
There's another book about it.
Yeah, there's another book about it. We can read another book.
More in the series.
There's more books in the series. You can reread the series. What else can we can do with our favorite books?
You can just continue it ourselves.
Yeah, you can keep reading it, the reread. You can go be the story, right? You go out. Instead of just reading about the wonderful things you can be, you can go out and be all those things. So Jesus is saying this as his disciples are looking at this beautiful building called the temple. And he tells them that someday that temple is going to come down. And it's like finishing your book. It could be sad, but the story doesn't end. It begins a new chapter in the book. And so we could write the sequel to The Wonderful Things You Will Be, called The Wonderful Things You Could Also Be.
Or The Wonderful Things You Are.
Or The Wonderful Things You Are. But my favorite could be The Wonderful Things You Could Serve. The wonderful. But either way, the journeys always continue. There is no ending, just a new beginning. So let us pray. On the count of three, laying our hands together. One, two, three. Now repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for new beginnings.
Thank you for new beginnings.
Amen.
Amen.
And now you guys are excused to go to Sunday school. Or I know they have a nice, fun project for you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading today is from the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Hear now the word. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars, forever and ever. Holy wisdom, holy word. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 16. It's on page 4 of your bulletin. Please read it with me. If you'll please read the alternating verses that are in bold. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names on my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart therefore is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10. Hear now the word. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time, those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Said to him, look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings. Then Jesus asked him, do you these great buildings, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nations will rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pains. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, my friends, we have journeyed this year in Mark's Gospel, and this is the last reading we'll get from Mark for three more years. I know it's hard to believe, right? Christ the King is next Sunday, which marks the end of our lectionary year, and then we will be in the first week of Advent. And lo and behold, last year, the first week of Advent, we were in Mark, the 13th chapter. So we will end where we began, and that first week of Advent, we will start in Luke's Gospel in the same kind of spot, Luke's version of events. So the danger, the risk I have today is saying so much today that I run out of a sermon in 2 weeks. I promise you I won't do that. But let us pause it and think about this. Our church year is ending, and we have a text about the end. And as we dance around with that a little bit, and I was wrestling with our text this week and pondering it, something really struck me. And that was that it's intimately connected with our reading for last week. I know not all of us were here last week, but it was the story of the widow who gives her 2 pennies into the coffers. And Jesus says to the widow, she has given more than everyone else, but she gave all of what she has. But we reframed it a little bit last week because the widow was the one being abused and oppressed by that community. So we really said the real question should be, why is the widow poor in the first place? Why has no one looked after her? And then we tried to wrestle with that. Well, this week only heightens that tension. I say they're connected because look at this. Jesus was sitting opposite the treasury. Where is Jesus in our text? Sitting opposite the temple. And so this kind of heightens the tension from last week. Because not only was the question, why do you still give in the midst of the abuses? But now, Jesus is saying this temple is going to get thrown down. And that might be, and we might sympathize with that fear as well as we looking at all of our own temples down and the own fears that we have at the moment. But then we wonder, wouldn't Jesus have been more compassionate if he said to the widow, don't give because in a few years the temple's not going to be here anyways? And that in itself causes us to have other sets of questions. We don't scrape barnacles off a sinking ship. We don't put new tires on our car when the tow truck is coming to take it to the junkyard. Why give in the midst of what will be the end? And that is an age-old question we all ask ourselves. Why even try? Why do doctors try so hard to save lives, knowing that in the end of the day, that person will eventually die anyways? No doctor yet has cured death. Why build, as I said, why even try? And I know I am intentionally leading you down this dark rabbit hole of despair. And I'm doing it intentionally. Because I reframed the point of our text differently. Because this is perhaps how we hear the text. This is a text about endings. But friends, this text isn't about the ending of a temple or the ending of anything. This text is about a new beginning. And Jesus has this powerful symbol that he uses. And that symbol is childbirth. And then, to my knowledge, I have never known anyone who, at the news that their loved one is giving birth, has donned their funeral, best funeral attire, and drove into the hospital. Because birth is not a celebration of death, but of new life. And that doesn't mean that there's not dangers in childbirth, that there's not pain and fear and the labor and the toil. Doesn't mean childbirth is without risk. It is that the point of childbirth is not death, but new life. And Jesus is telling us this, that new life is coming. Yes, the temple may fall. Things might get bad. And things always get bad, don't they? But there is new life coming. And this is the pattern of all reality, friends. We are not in a cycle of life and death. We are in a cycle of life, death, and transformation. We know this on the subatomic level. Nothing ever is destroyed. It is only ever transformed. We are participating in this in our journey. And as Jesus says this, as he's sitting on the opposite side of the temple, he is but days away from his own change. He'll be arrested, put on a crooked trial, taken out in a state-sanctioned murder, and put to death. And then the authorities will rub their hands and say, well, at least that was the end of it. And the disciples might say, well, that was the end of that journey too. But it was not the end, because there is no end. There is resurrection, there is ascension, and there's our hope. And it's the hope of us all, of reconciliation. That we are all journeying to a point in the world where there is reconciliation, unity, and love. So the question isn't what we do in the face of the end. It's what do we do now because we have hope. The world will change. Our lives will change. And change isn't always for the better. But we know something. We have this blueprint, so to speak. A blueprint that is the blueprint of all the great religions of the world. It says something really profound. The future is reconciliation. The future is love. The future is unity. And we have the secret. We know where the future is going. And so in the present, we get to live in hope. Because as you build toward love and unity and reconciliation, you're building something that will last forever. You are participating in bringing it about. And that is our mission as the church, is to be the ones who participate in this story, who participate in bringing about the reconciliation. And we have that story. And we are asked to go out and share that in words and actions and love with the world. I think that is what Jesus is telling us today. The buildings will come down, but our work remains. The temple that was a symbol of God's presence is now in you. When the temple falls down, you know that the truth was it is in you. And so, and final thought, final quote, it's a very famous ancient Chinese proverb that I know that says something like this. Don't grumble about the dark. No, I'm sorry. I should always look at you. I did the same thing last week, too. I keep messing up my quotes. It's better to light a candle in the night than to grumble about the darkness. It's better to light the candle of hope in the night than complain about how dark it is. And we as the church also have this great benefit where we can add on to that. It is better to light a candle in the night knowing that the sunshine of the dawn is coming, than to sit there and just grumble about the night. Friends, we have our great story of Christ who has come for us, who is now in us, who is now reconciling all things to himself. We are called to live into that love, to eat together, and then to go out and love this world and work towards participating in the fullness of what will come, which is God's presence with us. Amen.
Thank you.
Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation. O God, in the washing of water, you set us free from the power of sin and death. Unite all the baptized in the covenant you have made with us, as we strive for your justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
By your merciful might, you sustain all creation. Stir us from complacency with the harm we inflict upon the earth, and urge us to adopt sustainable ways of life that protect and restore our planet. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With a selfless power, you protect all who take refuge in you. As nations rise against nations, defend all who are displaced or affected by war or violence. Empower all people and nations to pursue peace. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
In your presence, you give fullness of joy. Care for all for whom joy feels distant. Be present with persons experiencing depression, anxiety, addiction, or any mental illness. We pray for the ill, especially Aaron, Joe, Fran, Eric, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Jeanette, Dietmar, Michael, David, Lael, Cameron, Marty, Keisha, Sabine, David. Pray for our Savior Lutheran Church, for victims of Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, for victims of war around the world and victims of world and national disasters. Bring them healing and wholeness. Merciful God, through the years you have gathered your church and this community for worship, fellowship, formation, and service. Enable us to look beyond the walls of our building to perceive where you are calling us forward. Merciful God, with thanksgiving we remember Elizabeth of Hungary and all saints and angels who delight in your everlasting presence. As their lives inspire ours, provoke us always to love, holding fast to the confession of our hope in you. Merciful God, we offer our boundless prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us now to stand as we sing our offering hymn. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, source of every gift of your creation. By these gifts, with our lives, help us to serve one another and all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, and gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
We pray for the gifts of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church without end.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people of God, and all are invited to come forward. If you come forward, you will receive. All are welcome means all are welcome means all are welcome. In a moment, the usher will come forward and will ask you from each side to fill in from right to left, and you may receive communion in whatever manner is most comfortable to you. Some find it more comfortable to stand while receiving, and some would like to kneel, so we have kneelers. Whatever is the best for you, we invite you to choose that space. We only ask that you come forward with your hand outstretched, for you will be given the bread of life. And then as the basket of wine is passed around, we'll ask you then to reach in, because the dark liquid is wine and the clear liquid is grape juice. But know that all are welcome and all who come will receive. Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with the dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And friends, I just want to pause a little bit for announcements, and I invite you all to take a look at the words of the week, which is the insert in our bulletin for all the events going on this week. But it is a busy week for us at the church, and so we just want to highlight that on Tuesday and Thursday, we will be meeting with our book club as we go over this book called Solve for a Happy by Mo Dowd. If you'd like to be part of that conversation but didn't read the book, feel free to come anyways. If you read part of it, still come. It was a great book. I'm looking forward to that discussion at both Tuesday at 11, Thursday at 5. On Wednesday, we have our communal meal and prayer service starting at 6. So please show up at 6 for a simple meal of soup and fellowship, and then hold an evening prayer at 7. And of course, if you can only come to the hold an evening part, that is, you're more than welcome to just show up at 7. And if you can't stay past 7, just show up for the meal. So stay up for either one or both. We also would like to let you all know that our Advent devotionals are in. So if you'd like to take an Advent devotion, it's on the table to your right. That's why they were when I went in. Please take one. They're there for you guys. And then finally, we just want to thank everyone who has filled out their pledge sheets. I know we haven't spent a whole lot of time about stewardship, but it is stewardship month. If you've already returned your pledge sheet, we thank you. And we would also like to encourage those who are still sitting on your pledge sheets to send them. I know it's always awkward when a church asks for money, but it does kind of help us create a budget, right? We still have that budget thing. So we'd like to encourage those who still have not done that to please do that. And I'm sure there's many more announcements, but I'm going to forget them all. Please look at your words of the week. And with that being said, let us prepare ourselves for the final blessing. God Almighty, God most merciful, bless you, keep you, and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.